Chapter 67. Ron went back to his car and changed shoes. He entered again through the back door and found people sprawled out on the living room floor, eating the Danish they had brought and shuffling papers. Sandy looked up and smiled at Ron's grinning face. "Do you have new best friends?" "They are fantastic," said Ron. "That's one way to get on the boss's good side," said Jake Norman. Bill Matthews added, "Ron knows the right things to say, that's for sure." Ron laughed, slid down to the floor, and opened his attaché case. "I like horses. I liked them since I was 18 and first got to work with them. It doesn't leave your blood once it is in there." Sandy nodded and smiled. Katie Moustakas said, "Well, it never got inside of me, and I don't intend to let it get in there now." Ron looked at her. The short, enormously chested woman seemed to be shuffling her papers with nervous energy. She wanted to get started. She handed Ron a list of upcoming workshops for the first half of the year. "When we post the sign-ups next month, your office has always tallied up the ones that will run and the ones that won't get enough attention and will have to be scrapped." This was the staff development model that Sandy and Bill had created. Teachers were paid $20 an hour and got on-God credit to continue honing their skills. It meant more money in their pockets and a better level of teaching for the school. Because it was the staff development committee, Sandy thought it best if it were chaired by a faculty person instead of an administrator. Ron was struck by the brilliant simplicity of the setup. Presenters, largely from the faculty, were sent out to conferences. They learned new skills and techniques. They came back and served as instructors, who were paid to present by the steering committee. Other faculty members took their workshops and were compensated for their time. It was continued staff development with a monetary and professional incentive. But this part of it was the nuts and bolts: scheduling the workshops, coordinating availability of instructors, making additions and subtractions to the lists, the gears and shifts that allowed the program to run smoothly. Jake Norman was a vice principal at Summit and a former teacher at Mountain Oak. He and Ron had not been there at the same time, but they knew about each other. Jake was a former history teacher and wrestling coach. He had been an active union organizer who had played rough when it came to the teachers' contract negotiations at Mountain Oak. For the last 10 years, he had been an administrator who was just as gritty on the administrative side. He had become well-versed with alternative scheduling and was largely responsible for the scheduling changes which had taken place at Middle Hills. He had gotten the word on Ron. He was smart, disarming, and vicious. He could respect that, but could not help sizing him up as an opponent. Jake viewed Bill Matthews as a passive egghead who preferred not to take the lead. Katie was attracted to him, and he could pretty much get her to go along with whatever he wanted. Holly Trimmer was an art teacher with long blonde hair and a sports car. Katie was a business teacher who loved tight organizations. Holly enjoyed making Katie happy because she sent her endless Greek desserts and was always friendly to her. It was Sandy's committee, and Jake knew that, but she had been promoted and would not have time to pay attention to all of it anymore. She was going to try to entrust that to Ron. Jake wanted to be sure that Ron was up to it. When they broke for lunch that was catered for the committee, Ron changed his shoes and slipped back out to Frank and Tahar. He was hungrier to see the horses again, and Sandy had told him that he could take them more carrots. Tahar was more affectionate than Frank. He came over and snorted and bobbed his head happily when he saw more carrots. Frank held back and ate straw from a mounted bale that Sandy had set out during the day. Ron ventured under Tahar's head to rub his sleek neck and feel the power at the tops of his front legs, all the while speaking and reaching out for that sense of connection that drew him. Then, when Tahar wanted another carrot, he gave Ron's chest a soft thunk with his large head. Ron was knocked back by the immense power of the horse, but returned laughing and handing Tahar his carrot. He slipped his free hand around the horse's neck to hug him, while Tahar's ears alert, chewed and bobbed his head. "You really do like them," said Jake, as he walked over after watching Ron from the porch. Frank trotted over to even things up, and Ron gave him a pat and a carrot. He turned to look at Jake from the other side of the fence. "Yeah, I really do like them." "Mountain Oak is a great place to be from," said Jake. Ron smiled. "I know you still have friends there." "And some enemies," said Jake. "How's Rufus?" Ron laughed. "We never talked much. He didn't say goodbye. You worked for Margaret Philco, didn't you?" "I hated that dumb bitch," said Jake. Ron nodded, seeing a weakness in Jake. "We didn't get along well, either."